Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you think you're free, do you? After all, you do live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Our age champions personal liberty, interpreted to mean that you can become or do anything your little heart wants to do, except perhaps with the proviso that you don't hurt anybody or interfere with their precious freedoms. Autonomy, literally a law to oneself, has become one of the watchwords of our public vocabulary, especially in the area of ethics. When I was a campus pastor in Minneapolis, I once saw a car in Dinkytown with two bumper stickers. One side of the bumper asserted, "Keep your laws off my body." On the other side of that bumper, there was pasted a sticker which read, "Outlaw sexual harassment in the workplace." Well, which is it? The very law that is rejected in the name of freedom is then invoked to protect the body from unwanted sexual approaches and intrusions. Maybe it is true that freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose, to recall a song from my childhood. Several decades before the advent of postmodernism, when the language of autonomy would gain popularity, the Lutheran theologian Werner Ehlert observed that autonomy is nothing more than an unfulfilled illusion. An unfulfilled illusion. It is an assertion without substance, just like the Jews in our text who proudly proclaim, "We are descendants of Abraham, and we have never been in bondage to anyone." Well, really? Really? What about all those long years down in Pharaoh's land where you were groveling and groaning under that yoke of oppression and slavery, forced to make bricks? Not in bondage to anyone? What about the 70 years of exile out in Babylon? Or what about the Roman legionnaires who even in that day would patrol the streets of Jerusalem, keeping the holy city under Caesar's heavy thumb? If you start with the assumption that you are free, you will only end up in bondage, in a servitude from which you cannot liberate yourself. There is only one who is free, and he is the Lord of heaven and earth. The atheistic philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre once said that even if the biblical God did exist, we would have to deny his existence in order to be free in the way that we think we want to be free. And so we see the illusion of freedom pompously strutted out on the stage of history, but the costumes cannot hide our sin and the death that sin brings. We are not free. The cemetery is proof of that. Try breaking the boundaries that God has set in place, and it is not so much that you will be a lawbreaker, but the law will break you. You may think that you can ignore God's law, but you can no more escape that law than you can escape the law of gravity. Martin Luther would see that truth with impressive clarity. The American evangelical church historian Mark Knoll once observed that Luther spoke in clear and unmistakable tones when others merely mumbled. Luther did not come to speak, however, without turmoil. It was 501 years ago this past July that a 21-year-old student, the son of a miner, with his master's degree in hand, made his way across the German countryside, anticipating the study of law. And then there was that thunderstorm, the crackling lightning that drove home to Luther the fear of death and God's judgment. Luther cries out, "Satan, help me and I will become a monk." He survives the storm. And indeed, he does give his law books away. And by the end of the summer, he enters the Augustinian monastery at Erfurt. There was nothing unique here. Many before and after Luther have had some brush with death that refocuses and redirects the path of their life. Luther sought freedom in the monastery, but instead he discovered bondage. It was not so much the bondage of the rules and regulations of the Augustinian order that bothered Brother Martin. It was a deeper and more pervasive bondage, the bondage of his own sin, his inability to free himself from the curse of the law, the torment of a conscience that accused and terrified him with the relentless demand that he love a God whose very presence provoked hatred. Luther would come to know the truth of Jesus' words in today's text. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And the Son has made you free. In the freedom of his will to be your brother and to be your Savior, he has taken his sin upon himself and carried it to the cross, redeeming you, a lost and condemned creature, purchasing and winning you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. That's the way the Catechism puts it. You are free. You are free, for the Son of God himself has freed you from the curse of the law, the darkness of death, and the condemnation of Satan. You are free. You need no longer live in enslavement to sin. The old hymn has us sing, "Make me a captive Lord, and then I shall be free." And that is the wonder of the freedom that Jesus speaks of in our text. The freedom that Luther came to know and preach. Freedom is not to be found in living as though God did not exist, so that we can do and be who and what we want to be. Freedom is found only in faith in Jesus Christ. Shortly before his death, Luther scribbled a few words on a scrap of paper found in his vest pocket after he died. "We are all beggars, it is true." That tired, worn-out old man knew the truth, that before God we indeed have no standing on account of our own merit or worth. Before him we can stand only as beggars, but beggars set free. Beggars set free to live by faith in the gracious promises of a merciful God. Freedom is found only in Jesus' words. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Move away from Jesus' words, which are spirit and life, and you end up back in bondage. Back into that self-imposed hell, and there's no freedom there. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free in him to live by faith in his promises, and then free to throw your life into the love of the neighbor. That is the freedom that Martin Luther taught us. And it's in that freedom that we stand firm on this Reformation Day. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.